Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first of an experimental PSCs dubbed Ted and Joe Go Live. Sounds like a Nomad Tech Project voice, doesn't it, Joe?
Yeah, we should have got Sam to do a little voiceover for us.
Yeah, so the idea here is that we're going to record a show as normal, and if no one turns up, then we'll just carry on recording a show as normal. But basically the door is open. We've given the link to the people in our MeWe group, and if anyone wants to jump into our Microsoft Teams meeting, they can jump into the lobby. And we'll see them turn up, and then we'll decide as and when we kind of open the door and let them in and have a chat with whoever turns up for a few minutes. The idea is that it'll just be a few minutes each in case we get inundated with tons of people. But this idea came from watching you and, you know, the aforementioned Sam, really, on your video podcast, which I think is really good. And part of me would really like to do it in the same way for PSC, but it's just, well, for one thing, it'll cost money, but also you've got to make sure your hair's all groomed nicely.
Yeah, that is a thing. Although I don't always turn up that well groomed. I've had a few hoodies up where I can't be bothered, but yeah.
Yeah, I saw Sam trying on our moto hat last night. That was quite funny.
Yeah,
in fact, that's the first person I've seen it fit, to be honest.
Yeah, it actually fit a lot better on him, didn't it?
Yeah, I thought so. I thought it looked good on him. But anyway, there you go. So we're talking about the Nomad Tech Project there, which Joe and Sam Ventimiglia, who is actually our guest on the show next Monday. So watch out for that one. Sam's going to join Joe and I on PSC next Monday. And so we'll have a nice chat about all sorts of things that he is interested in, no doubt. That'll be PSC 884. Today is PSC 883, and it's an extra one. It's a kind of fill-in, catch-up kind of show. So we're here now. It's the 23rd of February. And it is all stations go to see what happens. Phoneshowchat.uk is our website, two S's in the middle. And if you want to find anything else, the best place to go really is tedsalmon.com, where you'll find links to all the other audio podcasts and all the MeWe groups and everything. And so we're, yes, as you said in the recording notes there, Joe, we're live. Well, sort of.
We're live.
kind of alive. So, but the first thing that we want to do, actually, to just in order to prove that actually it's not really live, is to do an audio plug-in from Steve Litchfield. Steve has decided this week to order the Clicks communicator, and he wanted to come on this show this evening and talk about it, but he's busy with something else, so he couldn't be. Oh, hang on a minute. Look, there's someone coming in. It's Irfan Ali. Oh, no, he's gone again. Irfan did actually say that he might pop in. So he was the only person that kind of half confirmed, but he tried to get in there, and then he suddenly was gone again. So in the meantime, then, we'll go to Steve's audio. He wasn't available to join us, but he has sent in this clip to talk about his ordering of the Clicks communicator. So here he is. Take it away, Steve.
Hello there, Ted and Joe, doing a sterling job still, I reckon, so well done and keep it up. Just some thoughts on the Clicks communicator, which was launched last month at CES. They also launched the Power Keyboard, which is the MagSafe accessory, which adds this QWERTY keyboard to any MagSafe compatible phone. And I've previously reported on that. That has also yet to arrive. But I've also pre-ordered and reserved the Clicks communicator itself. And people will recognise this as a BlackBerry-like Nokia E-series device with a squarish screen and a slightly larger QWERTY keyboard than the existing Clicks keyboard cases. So it's a decent enough keyboard, reminiscent of things like the BlackBerry Passport, but with a kind of BlackBerry slant to each of the QWERTY keys. I ordered it because I just wanted to compare it and show it off and demonstrate to my various friends and customers in the UK, because there's quite a few people for whom they've got an older phone and they don't want to get involved in doom scrolling and full screen typing on glass. And I've admittedly, most of these are 60, 70, 80 year olds, but there's quite a market out there for people not doing what clicks say, which is people will use the clicks communicator as a secondary device. I think there's quite a market here for people using this as a primary device, especially with the Niagara launcher baked in, which basically simplifies the interface hugely. It's just like an alphabetic list of applications, and you can have it set up either by yourself or by a friend to just have just the 2, 3, 4 apps that you use day to day. So for a 60, 70, 80 year old trying to transition from, for example, an old ancient Nokia or a BlackBerry, this is kind of perfect, really. I've already got someone in mind for it after I've had my play and done my video review and got my video thoughts out. This is destined to arrive, I think, sometime in the early summer. So we've got a few months to wait yet. But yes, I've reserved it. So that and the power key will be winging their way to me at some point. And of course, I'll be back on the show, I think, for PSC 900. And I'm sure I'll be able to give you more of a hands-on review of both these products. But yes, the Clicks Communicator, I think there's a definite market as a primary for specific people. Not me, probably not you listening to this, but for many people out there, this is something different and something they can get their hands and minds around. And I think it for them, it will be a breath of fresh air in the 2026 phone market.
Thanks, Steve. So what do you reckon to that, Joe? Do you think that that's a goer, or is it just another toy with a QWERTY keyboard that everyone will put in their fingers and realise it's only fit for a four-year-old child and give up?
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree with Steve here. I really think there is a market for this, and I really think a UK network should actually jump on this device. Because I think, in my opinion, it could do well. I could imagine an O2 store would sell it quite well. So yeah, I'm all for more options for people. I should ask my mate Michael Fisher to send me one. If only he knew I was his mate.
Yeah.
And who I am, even.
Oh, Irfan has joined us now. Hello, Irfan.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello, welcome to PSC. Hey. And you're the first person to join us, so welcome. We were just talking about the Clicks Communicator. I don't know if you've got any views about that. Steve Litchfield has just been telling us about the fact that he's ordered one. Do you know what it is? Do you fancy one?
No, I'm not into that kind of thing, to be honest with you. I took Joe's suggestion. I got myself an Honor 400 Pro the other day.
Oh, right. Nice.
And, I mean, I got a Xiaomi for 13T and I liked it, but I thought I never had an Honor phone, so I'll try that. And I must admit, though, it's a beautiful device. It's really enjoy using it, to be honest with you. It's going to...
How much did you pay for it in the end?
I got a bargain on it, Joe. I paid £200 for it.
Oh, wow. That's a fantastic
And the sole
there.
Reason it is, I found somebody online, and basically he said there's a crack on the back of it. So I took a punt and bought it. And when it arrived, literally, it's just a crack in the glass. You can't even feel it when you put your finger over it. So I don't know what sort of crack it was. But, I mean, I got it, £200, warranted till next year. So, yeah, I think I'm going to use it for quite a while. I took some stunning photos of my granddaughter this weekend with it. It's a really good phone. Really enjoying it, using it.
Yeah,
Have you been bugged by the kind of Apple stuff on it yet?
To be honest with you, no, I haven't noticed it. The thing that got me, Ted, is with the Xiaomi, it's a great phone, but it's the notification delay and things like that that really got to me with the, you know, restrictions with the HyperOS. So, as I said, I never had an Honor device. I thought I'd try it. One thing I did find, which is really weird, I don't know if you will concur, is on my Xiaomi device, when I rang somebody, it waited for like 2 or 3 seconds before the call connected. It was really weird. My kids would say the same thing. Oh, Dad, when we ring you, it takes like 5 seconds for it to connect to your phone. I thought, okay, it might just be a thing me. But with this phone, literally, I press call and it connects immediately. I can't explain what it is, but I find it really connects really fast on a phone call. Changed anything.
It's not to do with Wi-Fi calling or something, is it?
No, I have Wi-Fi calling turned off, to be honest with you. I don't like that, Ted. But yeah, I find it really connects really fast. But yeah, overall, great device, good size. Really enjoy using it. Really enjoy it.
So has Xiaomi got a reputation for that? I haven't had a Xiaomi phone for so long. I really should have a play with HyperOS again, but you're putting me off now.
No, I mean, it's good. When it was MIUI, I used to root my phone and put like a custom ROM on it to take off all the bloatware, and then HyperOS came, and it's really good to use. Mm-hmm. But it's just that short delay that used to happen with notifications and WhatsApp and that, and it just got a bit annoying in the end. So I thought, and Joe was, you know, singing praises on Honor devices. I thought, you know, I'll get an Honor device. I'm not had an Honor. So I was going to get an Honor 200 Pro first, which would have been adequate for me. But then by chance, this chap on eBay was... He had it up for an Honor 400 Pro for £200. I said, I think it was £210 he had it up for. And I said, will you take 200? And he emailed me back saying, yeah, I'll take 200. Here's a link to buy it. And I just bought it. And it came. And I mean, it came with a case and everything, screen protector and everything on it, box with it, original charger and everything. So got a bargain there.
Yeah, sounds really good. Well done. Have you explored any other parts of it? I was quite impressed with the close focus, super macro or hyper macro or something. Have you tried that?
Yeah, that's good. I tried that, and the AI thing on here as well is really good. You know, you can take an old picture creates a video for you. Mm-hmm. That is, I mean, you can only use it, I think, 3 times a month. I think's a limitation at the moment.
Yes, that's right.
But that's... scarily weird is that. I mean, it's like you take a photo of your childhood and it becomes a video stream and you're like, that's a bit... That's really good, is that? That's really, really, really good. How we can just get it to work just like that. And I showed my wife and she's like, it's a video of you as a child. I said, exactly. We didn't have video cameras back then. And I just told her, the phone did it all. And it's really, really, really good, that. Really good.
Very impressive. Yes. When I first got my... Honor 400 Pro, those were limitless. They had a deal going with Google because it's the back end engine of it is Google's, what's it called, Vivo 3 or something.
Vivo 3.
And they did a deal with Honor, and I think it was for the first 2 months of ownership of the 400 Pro, you could just do as much as you want with that. Now, the novelty, to be honest, wore off quite quickly. So once I'd done a few of them, you know, maybe a dozen of them, I thought, oh, right, yeah, that's very nice. Moving on. But yes, you're right. Now my phone will only do 3. And I think you tested that on yours, didn't you, Joe?
Yeah, because I think it was 3 times a day, wasn't it? It was limitless, though, because it was every day you could do it.
Right.
Whereas now it's... 3 times a month. So,
but I mean, the processing power to do that wasn't crazy. So no one had restricted it, to be honest with you.
But you can, if you want to do more, you can. But they charge you 51p, is it, Joe?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but I was devastated. I wasn't too happy. I got a refund.
So if you want to carry on using it after 3 a month, you can. You just got to pay for it. But that's the same as the Google engine as well. You know, if you use it more than the base limit, you've got to start paying 12p a second, wasn't it? I think we found out.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing, you're talking about delayed notifications, but I actually have got Joe's Magic 8 Lite here, which obviously runs Magic OS 9, mm-hmm. not 10. And I've noticed some real, real long delay notifications on this phone. Now, I haven't been using it as my main device, but it has got a SIM card in it, and it is connected to Wi-Fi, and I like pick it up a day later, and I'm doing a battery test, which is flying colors. It's fantastic. But every time I pick it up and see what the battery is, all the notifications for the last 12 hours just flood in at once. And I think that maybe just everyone is doing this, particularly the Chinese, and we need to kind of use those workarounds. Malcolm Bryant, our developer friend, he developed an app, didn't he, in order to kind of dig into that and stop all that happening. Mm. So might be worth a look.
All right, yeah. That's the thought. Yeah, good to that. Yeah, no, I just found it with the Xiaomi, it tended to get delayed, whereas with all my other phones, I mean, Samsung notification was immediate, but with the Honor as well, no delay notification, I get them through straight away.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like when you leave them, Ted, they do sort of go to sleep, because I find that with my Fold, because I haven't got a SIM in there at the moment, my Fold, I mean, my V5, and when I pick it up, like you say, it does, they all sort of fire through. So I think you're right, it does sleep a bit when you're not using it more. frequently.
Yeah. I'll tell you what the battery output, the thing was. To be honest with you, I've forgotten it was on. So this was, today is Monday, and I left it on last Sunday. It was charged just over a week ago, right? And it was connected to Wi-Fi, had an O2 SIM card in it, and I checked it on Tuesday. Sorry, no, it was charged on Tuesday, and I checked it on Sunday, yesterday, and it was 77% of the battery left. So it had gone Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 5 days, and it's still got 77% charge. And I just checked it today, and it was down to 74 or something. So I think that battery is really, really impressive. In case you don't know, Irfan, it's got this 7,500 milliamp hour battery, no Qi charging, which is annoying, but this battery is just stonkingly good. Do you find that the battery's good on the 400 Pro?
Yeah, it's very good, Ted. I mean, they actually recommend that you charge up to 80% and leave it no more than 80, but I do it to like 90 and take it off charge. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I mean, the battery lasts me an all day quite easily. And I mean, it's just a really good phone to use. It's slick. I've never, ever, believe it or not, had a phone with a Snapdragon processor. Obviously, when I used to buy the Samsungs, Joe, they were all at the Exynos in, so I never had a Snapdragon.
Boo.
Yeah, so this is my first one with a Snapdragon processor, and obviously, you know, you can't tell a difference, but I mean, I just find it really smooth, and the Magic 10 OS interface is really good. Obviously, I've put Nova Launcher on here, which I know is back in development, because they obviously somebody else bought the company, but I'm getting a bit bored of Nova, so I'm digging into other launchers. I was going to look at the Octopi one, but then I remember Ted, you said that's more of a foldable type launcher. So I'm
No. It's not more. It works really well on any phone. It's just that on the foldable phones, it works almost uniquely, I think, compared to any other launcher. In that you have a different setup for the outside when it's folded, a different setup for the inside when it's open in landscape, a different setup when it's open in portrait. You basically have to set it up for every single eventuality in terms of orientation. So it works really, really well with folding devices in a way that, for example, the Pixel launcher doesn't. It's just hopeless. You get one and that's your lot. Samsung's a bit better, but Octopi works really, really well in folding devices. But it also works really well in candy bars. I suggest you try it, Irfan.
Yeah, I'm going to try that, and I might try that Niagara launch. I think that's had quite a good write-up, and a lot of people recommend that as well. I will probably try that. I mean, there's one thing I really do miss from the Samsung, which is a routines app. I really, because in my Samsung, I used to always have it set to turn off at 11 on my phone and come back on at 7 in the morning. Now, I know that Do Not Disturb, there's a similar kind of thing, but I really miss the routines app, to be honest with you, from the Samsung, but the only way I can get that on a device, any other device, actually, is using either MacroDroid or Tasker app, which is that's really complicated to use, is that?
Right.
Macros, etc.
Or you can use Google's Action thingy. I can't remember now. It's so long since I used it. Action button, is it? No, Action.
The Action Blocks, aren't they? Blocks. The Action Blocks.
Yeah, that's it.
Action Blocks. Yeah.
So there is that as well. But, yeah, there are quite a few out there. It's just that what I find that once you start baking yourself into Samsung world, you just get kind of hooked in and you just want to use all their stuff. It's really good. When it all sits together and works together, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I must have had to use Samsung for a long while. I went from TouchWiz to using One UI, and it's really good, but after a while it just gets, you know, it's like it's boring, isn't it? So you need to change your devices, and I've never had an Honor device. I thought that's it, I'm gonna buy an Honor device, I don't care, that's my next phone.
It is nice. And the screen on the 400 Pro is stonking. It is
so
bright, and it's clear, and it's something. There's something they do with the dimming and the brightness and the Joe, you know all about the technicalities of this, don't you? But the result is that it's a stunningly bright and vibrant looking screen, isn't it?
I pretend to know.
Sounds like my job, Joe. Waffle until you can make it.
I'm convincing, obviously, yes.
It's very impressive, though. Were you impressed with the screen?
Yeah, I was.
I mean, like I said, it's on Joe's recommendation that I thought. Yeah, Honor 400, Honor 200. Yeah, I'll get an Honor device because I just and obviously the settings and everything. It's like you need to wait. It's all set up. I mean, I know you can say it's not much different from other devices, but it just works well. I really like it. I mean, I have an Honor tablet as well. I have Honor 9 Pro, Honor something tablet. I've got a 12-inch Honor tablet, which I got a while ago for like watching media, and it just syncs beautifully with that as well. There's no issue whatsoever, just transferring files across, etc.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Honor Connect.
Honor Connect. That's the word I'm looking for. But
magic ring.
Yeah,
you can tether as well. So if you're out with your tablet, it's really easy to tether.
Okay.
Together.
You need to have all Honor stuff though, don't you? A bit like kind of getting baked into Samsung.
Not necessarily. I've got Honor Connect on my Samsung laptop here.
Okay.
And it worked quite well. And you supposedly can do it with iPhones as well, because you can get Honor Connect on Macs and iPads. So they say. I've not tested that yet, but yeah, apparently you can.
Cool.
Yeah, sorry, Ted, actually, regarding Honor devices, I've done that. So I had a set of Pixel Buds Pro as my headset of choice. But I've sold them now and I bought those Honor ear open ones, the ones that hook on your ear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're great.
The ANC. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I managed to get them for a bargain. I paid £30 for them.
Wow.
From somebody.
Oh, nice. It's
been a bargain a week for me, so I thought I'll buy them because obviously they'll go well with the Honor device. Because I'm a fan of in-ear, but after a while, these get uncomfortable, so I'm going to try to use the over-the-ear ones now, or the ear-open ones that click around your ear.
Yeah.
I think they've worked better for me.
Ted, have you had hands-on with them before?
I was going to say that the only problem I had with those is wearing glasses. When you've got something around the back of your ear and you've got a pair of glasses on, sometimes it's all right. Some of them work. It depends how thick the arm is on your glasses, obviously. But that's the point at which, when I got fed up with that, I turned to these loop thingies, and we spoke about I got this pair of Moto loop ones. Sony have just brought out their own version of this very week, last week. 130 odd quid they are, so they're not cheap, but I imagine the Sony ones are pretty good, and they kind of clip around the outside of your ear halfway up, and it's really hard to describe, but honestly they're so good, they're so effective. I sat next to my dad the other day. I got nearer and nearer and nearer. I said to him, I had the music on quite loud. I said, tell me when you can hear it. Now my dad has got old ears, fair enough, but even so, he said, I was like a foot away from him, and he said, maybe just about hear something. I was trying to test for the kind of sitting on the bus thing or on the tube train thing. And I think it's really, really good. And the sound's great for some reason. I really like them.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the Honor. They've got some Honor ear clips, which is what you're referring to, Ted.
Right.
Ones that clip around your outside of your ear.
Yeah.
But I got a pair of Xiaomi ones a while ago, and I don't know, I must have weird shaped ears. I just couldn't clip it around my ears. It just didn't work for me.
Oh, dear.
So I gave them to a colleague of mine at work, so which is why I went with the open-ear ones. And as a glasses wearer, yes, I, the frustration is if you wear glasses and the arm's quite thick, they don't sit as well as they would. But I'm used to it by now, to be honest. So I just put my glasses to one side and they're okay. But I usually only have them liking it on one ear when I'm at work, so in case I need to listen to what my colleagues are saying. But yeah, I'm gonna wait for them to arrive and see how good they're. But they've got a good write-up. They've got ANC and all the gubbins, and hoping that they'll be good to use.
I wonder how ANC works, if they're they're not really in your ear, or are they?
They kind of like sit on outside your ear canal, don't they? Whereas an earbud will go into your ear canal and stay there with the silicon tape, this one kind of like rests on the top of it.
Yeah.
And it creates like an artificial feel. I mean, I don't know. I'm just spitballing. I might be talking cod to wallop, but I'm assuming that's how they sit.
Lauren's actually used them for running as well, and they stayed in quite well, she said.
Yeah, yeah.
What are they called again, Joe? The Honor?
Open Ear, I think they're called.
Open Ear, that's right. I'll try and find a link and put it into the show notes. So that people can know what we're banging on about. so yeah, I'm glad that you're impressed with the Honor 400 Pro. All this is Joe's fault, you know. Until he came along,
sorry,
we'd never heard of Honor.
Well, to be honest with you, Ted, the lad at work has gone Honor V5, and he opened it there, and I thought, is that 470? He goes, no, it's an Honor V5, and I held it in my hand.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with that. It's a gold one as well. I thought, oh, my God, I need to get one.
Oh, that Dawn Gold is gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. I looked at it. Joanne was like, oh, you know what? I get my bonus next month. Do I really have to? I don't really want to buy one or not. But No, I thought I'd get the 400 Pro and stick for that. But, yeah, it's incredible. I can't believe how thin it is.
Mm.
It's proper wafer thin. It's like, how was such a forward device so thin?
Still feels robust, though, doesn't it?
It just feels solid. The hinge in that is really solid, and it's got a really good case in it that kind of leans into a stand. I don't know if it's an official Honor one, but...
Yeah, that screen comes in the box.
The screen was beautiful, but it's I looked and I thought, oh, yeah, that's a really good phone. Is that? I might have to get a foldable. But then it's like you said, Ted, the novelty wears off after, like, 20 minutes. Like, I'm at the candy bar now.
with a foldable, I find this. I love using my Pixel Fold, original generation Fold, and I get it all fired up and synced up and all going and the Pixel Watch hooked up with it. And then I realise after about 2 days, I've only opened it once. And I think to myself, what's the point of having a lovely foldable phone if you never open it? And I think to some degree, this is why, Joe, we're talking about the flip phone recently, is that the opposite is probably true, that you, most of the time, you're opening it up to use it.
Yeah, definitely.
So there are, you know, pros and cons.
What I'll say, though, is with the foldable devices, that's one more time than you could have with a slab phone.
Say it again, sorry?
That's one more time than you could have with a slab phone. At least you got the option, eh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You have got the option. And it is nice. When I open up my Pixel Fold and I go to Google Drive or something or play some YouTube music and look at the wide display and all the data all over it, it's really lovely. And I think, oh, yeah, that's really nice. But as I say, almost all the time, I don't want to do it or don't think to do it. Now, that may be... maybe down to my lifestyle of always being in front of a computer, but the next person might make much more use of it. I know you do, Joe. You know, you open up your phone a lot, don't you?
Yeah, I think it's partly because I travel on the bus every day, so it's nice to have a bigger canvas watching YouTube, although people do argue you don't get much more on YouTube with it. But what I like about it is you can do the comments and have a full screen at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's things like that, isn't it? It's the multitasking. Which is nice as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Mum uses her fold for literally watching media. Otherwise, it's folded and she just uses a front screen, which I find quite narrow, actually, on the Samsung. It is very narrow.
Yeah. So what do you reckon to forthcoming folding devices? They're talking about Apple and Samsung, and we're really expecting in the next week or so to see what Motorola are doing with the Fold. Any excitement from that, Irfan?
Not really, but I want to see what Apple's offering is, because it's been in the... Well, they've been teasing it for a while, haven't they? Apple's foldable phone. I think it's been delayed a few years, so... I mean, it's going to be the usual thing. It'll just be a normal fold, but, you know, everybody will fawn over it, and then obviously it'll be like, oh, it's the best thing since sliced bread. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, Ted, I did look at that. I watched that Pura video you put up about the Huawei Pura.
Yeah.
That I like that. When the guy opened it up, he's like, it's actually quite a nice shape, is that phone? It's not too fat, but it's not too thin. It felt quite good in the hand, actually. I like the way... He obviously, on his 10-month review, said that he really liked using it. And that's quite a good form factor, that.
The point I was making when I posted that was that I just don't get why no one has done that. That this is completely locked into Harmony OS in China, and nobody in the world, no other OEM, who are usually very happy to copy everyone else, no one's done it. And I think it's the same as you. I think it's a stunning-looking, interesting design. I'm foxed.
I'm actually surprised Honor hasn't done it, because like I've said before, I do think they're still affiliated with Huawei, no matter what they say. So I'm surprised they haven't done it, to be honest. Because it would be quite unique to launch in Europe, at least.
Yeah. And it would mean you wouldn't have to fiddle about trying to get GMS onto it and the Play Store and make it actually work with stuff that people in the West want it to work with, without embracing Harmony OS and making it your thing.
I mean, I think it comes down to cost, Ted, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously, where we live, all three of us know that things in the UK cost extortionately more than what they do. I mean, I was listening to a podcast today, an American one, and there was a guy who basically got a Pixel 10a by trading in an old Pixel 2, and it ended up costing him like $50 with all the trading offers he got. Right. But you'd never get the same in the UK, would you? You'd never get that in here.
Right.
It's interesting you say that, actually, Evan, because I was speaking to Honor about like their laptops, their portfolio of laptops, because we get very few of them in the UK. Yeah. And they said the cost implications of launching laptops in the UK is quite large. So, yeah, that's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. We've got a phone coming up in MWC from Nothing. And just today, the design of the back of it with this bar, what's it called? Glyph bar. The glyph bar has now actually been leaked. I don't know if anyone's had a chance to actually have a look at that. I've put a link in the recording notes, Joe, which you'll be able to see. From Android Authority, and they've actually got a picture of the back of this. So on the right-hand side of the device, there's an array of, is it nine? I think it's nine square LEDs, and they can kind of do what they like with it. So it's a bit of a halfway house between what they did with the Nothing Phone 3 and the previous models with the dancing lights all over it. Any thoughts on that?
Not sure I think it's going to be that great myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather a full glyph or glyph matrix or more glyph lights myself. I do like the little recording light, the red recording light at the bottom there, though. That's all right, that's quite cute. Don't know, what's your thoughts, Irvan? You can't see it, can you?
I'm just looking at it now. I've looked it on YouTube, the glyph interface. Yeah, it's just the raw lights, really, isn't it? I mean, if you can make the lights different colours, that'd be quite funky, I suppose.
I think you can, yeah. I think they're multicoloured. And to some degree, though, it feels like Nothing, I'm not quite sure what they're doing, that they keep leaping between glyph this and glyph that and glyph the other. And, every release has got something different and there's no continuity. I know that we're the first ones to complain about continuity these days and say, oh, every phone's the same. here's someone doing something different every time and we're complaining about that. So,
it's good fun, isn't it?
It's a British thing. But it's a USP, isn't it? I mean, each manufacturer, what's their unique USP? You know, it's that... You've got your diehard fans will bite no matter what, how much, as I call them, your loyalists, that'll buy a new phone no matter what. Mm-hmm. But there's always like us who twitch phones on a weekly basis and just looking for the next big thing. But I don't know, there's never going to be a phone that's got all of it for it. It's going to be half one and six of the other, isn't it? But
talking of which, the Pixel 10a has just been kind of outed virtually. And I've put a link in the show notes again here to the differences between the Pixel 9a and the Pixel 10a. And there's just nothing there, is there? There's absolutely nothing different at all. You were saying on Nomad Tech Project last night, Joe, about the thing that you wanted to focus in mostly on was the flat back, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Steve mentioned it in the chat about the lack of pixel snap, which I think is a miss for me. Launching something that unique on your device, well, not unique, because Apple's done it, but launching something like that, you think they'd continue that and make it differentiate from the 9A slightly more. I think it's a miss that they've not done that, adding that extra bit of value. I see you totally disagree.
Yeah, you know, I was more interested in what you were saying about the flat back, the fact that they've made the camp something that we complain about quite a lot. The camera completely flush with the back of the phone. You're quite right, and I think magnets in on the back of phones is a stupid crap idea personally, and it's of no value to me personally at all, and it just seems a nonsense Apple thing that nobody needed. But anyway, I was more interested in this, you know, making it flat like they have with Red Magic phones and ROG phones and stuff coming out of the Far East that's mainly for gaming.
Yeah, that is the one thing that did catch my eye with it. The camera is plush, the back, there's no bump at all. You can run your finger right across. Obviously, you'll feel the difference in material, but yeah, it's just, that's one thing I did know. Because I think the 9A does have a little bit of a bump, doesn't it?
Yes, very it slight. Has. Yeah, very small. Yeah. And there are a few kind of upgrades here and there, but there's just nothing. It's a bit, again, foxing to see why they've done this. Why would you go to all the effort of a new line of phones? Suggestion in the tech press is partly that, well, it's become a habit and they feel as though they've got to because people are expecting a new phone, even if it's the same.
So, I guess their argument would be this is for your 7A and maybe 8A users rather than 9A users on a 2-3 year cycle. So, I guess that they'd say that. I don't know.
But nowadays, with the amount of updates they give you, I mean, you could keep it. I mean, you could still, I mean, you can get Android 16 or Pixel 6 at the moment still. You can still use that perfectly fine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? How old is the Pixel 6 now? God, what, 4 iterations ago? So that's still a usable phone running Android 16. So it's like, why would you change? True. If you didn't have to change. You know what I mean?
I've got a Pixel 7 here, and that's still bang up to date, and it's going to be supported for another generation up to Android 17, I think. So that 7 is still doing good service. But releasing phones that are almost the same brings me to my next point, Irfan, which is that this week Motovator folks sent me an Edge 60 Pro.
I saw the picture, Jed. It looked identical.
And honestly, you could not, apart from the fact that on the back of the 50 Neo, my 50 Neo I've got here, there's a Pantone sticker on the back. You just wouldn't know the difference. They're basically the same.
It's removable, right, Jed?
No, you can't take it off.
Oh, it's actually a permanent sticker. Yeah, okay.
It's kind of embossed into the back of it. But there's just very, very little different. And you think to yourself, why have they done this? Now, I have to say that my initial findings, having declared them as two peas in a pod, I am impressed with certain bits of it. I'm not impressed with the bloat that's on it, but I was impressed with the fact that all of the bloat that's on it is uninstallable or disableable, if that's a word. So tons of crap on there, which you can just take off, which is fine. Most people won't, of course, and that's what they're banking on. And so they're also banking on people finding it and saying, "Oh, what's this? And I'll play with this. Oh, it's going to cost me $2 a month. I'll sign up for that then." And so they'll carry on and do it. The whole of the Moto AI suite is present, which is a difference between the two. So on the 50, you get no Moto AI. So if you're a fan of the way in which they've implemented the Moto AI, then that's there. They've also upped the RAM from 8 to 12 gigabytes in order to support that AI, presumably. There's a difference in the RAM. It's still on Android 15, although the security update is right up to date on January 26th. So it's a bit odd that they should be not putting Android 16 on this, I suppose. I'm guessing it'll drop any minute, but as usual with Moto, we just never know what's going to happen with updates.
We were talking about this, weren't we, Ted? My Razer 60 Ultra's got Android 16, but the security is December. So it's just wild how Moto work.
Yeah, definitely. And the same is true with my Razer 50. That's on December, and it's got Android 16 on it. One thing I was a bit concerned to read, though, on the UK website, I thought that the 60 Neo had the same five OS updates as the 50 Neo, but according to the UK website, it says quite clearly 4 years of Android OS updates. And that's in, no one seems to have picked up on that. If you go to GSM Marina and other tech data sites, they all say it's five updates, but it would appear that it's not. So unless they're using the term 4 years inverted commas to be flexible, because in case Google released two versions of an OS in a year or something, I don't know, because they, you know, they are going to do that. This year, no, they're not. Not quite. But it was quite close this year with 16 and 17. But we shall see. The one thing that I'm really, really impressed with, though, is the speakers. I honestly thought they would be the same speakers, the same hardware, the same everything. But they are absolutely not. They're much better. They're louder, and the output is better quality. I tested them quite extensively with YouTube Music and the same tracks, and with my own 320 kbps MP3 files as well. And it's markedly different. So I don't know what magic they've done with that. I did ask Gemma, and she said it's something to do with Japan's high fidelity quality music badge or something. I can't remember what she said now, but she reckoned that there was some logic to it. And the battery, that's the other big difference, is that the battery is bigger. So it's 5,200 or 5,000 if you're in Brazil, but, you know, it's significantly better than the 210 or whatever it was. And I have been testing that, and it is really, really good. So there's that as well. The always-on display is exactly the same as it was before, which is just great. That's a real high point. So far, I'm really impressed with the Edge 60 Neo in a way that I really didn't think I was going to. Looking at the spec sheet, it just looked like it was a tweaked upgrade, like the Pixel 10a from 9a. But it's actually not. If you spend some time with it and push it, you start to see that there's more here than meets the eye. So kudos to them. Any thoughts, Erpan?
No, I've never had a Moto phone, Chad. I was toying with the idea of getting one, actually, when I was looking after my Xiaomi, but I opted for Honor instead. But, yeah, it looks quite nice. The colour's a bit garish. It's a bit bright.
That's only one of the colours.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm a fan of colours, so, you know, to be honest with you, I'd probably get something that garish just so it stands out with a clear TPU.
There is one new colour, which is called Frostbite. So I think that's the kind of grey-y, blacky one or whatever it was. I really like it. Joe, any thoughts?
Well, I'll say that bloatware list is rather large, Ted. It'll take a while to read that out. I was going to say, should we read it? But no, let's not.
There's a lot going on there, isn't there? And no doubt...
that one really annoys me, Temu.
Yeah. It's some Chinese shop or something, isn't it?
Yeah, and yeah, it's just you turn the notifications on that, oh my God.
Yeah.
It doesn't leave you alone.
And I think about 50 messages a day from that app when I go into it. I have to clear them all down. It's crazy.
But they are absolutely identical from the outside. They really are. You just wouldn't know that it was not, you know, the same phone. There's not even a hardware AI button to differentiate them. So the AI works in the same way as the Razer 50 does. It hasn't got a button, but all the stuff's there. If you just need to get to it by software. It's just incredible.
I quite like the Image Studio, Ted. Have you played with that much?
Talk a bit about the Motorola camera and image stuff, because that's the last thing on my list. Go on.
Oh, well, I haven't used the 50 or 60 Neo. I can't comment.
But you've used the Ultra, the 60 Ultra.
I think the main lens is very good. I like the color reproduction. I think it's really good. I actually quite like Moto's processing, but they're not the best in low light, especially on the Razer 60 Ultra. The ultra wide has got a really small sensor, and it just totally crumbles in low light. But yeah, overall, I really do like the output from Moto devices myself. So I put a few on. You know, Juan Bagnell's got what was it called now? I forgot the app now. But I put a few images up, and he said he was quite impressed. That came from a Razer.
Right. Cool.
So yeah, he was even impressed by the images.
Very good. You're getting all these online buddies, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah.
So,
Juan's a good guy.
Anything else you wanted to talk about while you're on?
To be honest, he said no. Pretty happy with my Honor 400 Pro, and I'm cracking on with it.
Great.
What colour did you get?
I got that silver colour, Joe.
Oh yeah, that's
quite
lovely
nice.
As well.
It's lovely. Yeah. It's not grey, it's not silver. It's like one in between. It's really nice. I didn't realise that the glass back until I got it, but yeah, it's a beautiful colour. I mean, I've got a case on it because I put a case on everything, unfortunately, due to the nature of cats and grandchildren out running around. But I got that lovely silver colour.
So the question is, if you dropped it into the Mersey, would you go and buy another one, or would you be looking at something else?
Good question.
I don't know, Ted, to be honest with you.
Don't know.
I mean, I have £100 excess on my bank account phone insurance, so they would pay me out or get me one exactly an identical one to that. Right. To be honest with you, I do enjoy using it. I mean, it's just little things about it, like I like the way the eSIM and the dual SIM setup, because I have two SIMs in my phone, because what I do is I have a separate SIM for my phone number, which is I've had that phone number for 25 years, and I have a separate phone for my data, so that way then I can switch my data packages around very easily and still keep my existing phone without having it. So I've got a Sky £1 SIM where I pay £1 a month, and that SIM just is in unlimited calls with 1 gig of data, but that data rolls over anyway. So that's my main phone number, and I just get a Libara SIM for data, where you get these packages where you pay like 63p for 4 months, and you get like 50, and after that it goes to like £9, but then I can just switch. Then I can close it off because it's a monthly contract, so I can just switch the data SIM out and get another one.
Because it's not I'm missing a trick here. I'm missing a trick. This is great.
Yeah. So I've done it for the wife on her Flip 6, so she's got two SIMs. So the eSIM is her phone number, and I just put a manual SIM in there, physical SIM for her data. So I think I pay £2.50 a month for unlimited calls and 50 gig of data, and I think she pays back the same. And then once 8 months are up and the SIM price goes up on the Libara SIM, I'll cancel it and just get another one from like another 63p and do another 8 months. But because she's not losing her main phone number, it's very easy to do. Yeah, it's a little tip I worked out how to do.
And Sky use O2 network as well, actually.
They do use O2 network, yeah. So the beauty of that is you get these Sky rewards as well. Every week you get them Sky rewards. So
Which is worth more than the pound you're spending, probably.
Well, Joe, I think I've had about £100 worth of pizzas already out of them. Cookies, ice cream, all sorts. So every week they give you something for free. You just go and claim at your local Sainsbury's. It's brilliant. It's well worth the pound. And the thing is, I pulled a sly one with Sky. When I got the eSIM with them, they messed up the transfer for it, and it took about 10 phone calls to different agents to get it sorted. And in the end, I sorted it out myself, and I kicked off a right fuss, and they credited me £50 credit on my mobile account. Oh, yeah. So I'm not going to be paying for this thing for like at least 3 years now.
Gosh.
So, yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yes, I got one a winner there with that one.
Cool. So, right, okay then. Well, thanks for joining us, Irfan.
No problem.
Well, I'm not sure that so far you're the only person that has showed up for our open door event, which is a bit disappointing in one respect, but actually it's really great to have you on. So thank you.
It could have been worse, couldn't it? It could have been Billy No Mates and no one turned up.
But, it's always a pleasure talking to you, gentlemen, honestly.
Yeah, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll catch you soon. Okay, thanks very much.
Have a good evening, gentlemen. See you later,
guys.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
So that's a fan come and gone. We've got a few things that we've still got to cover. Is there anything else you wanted to say about your Razer 60 Ultra review?
Yeah, I finally filmed some bits for it. It's probably going to be rubbish, so subscribe to Screen On Time if you want to see that. That's how I sell my channel. But yeah, because I'm quite keen to get it back over to you, Ted, to be honest, because I'm quite intrigued by you using it a bit longer, comparing it to the 50. And I really want to crack on with the Signature, which I still haven't unboxed. And I need to film it. So, yeah, I need to crack on with that.
I'm looking forward to getting the 60 Ultra again because, yeah, for those that don't know, we were sent this Razer 60 Ultra one each, and Joe's one was broken, and so he had to return it. So because I had the Razer 50 here, I sent him my Razer 60 Ultra, and he's had it ever since. And they've subsequently told us we can keep it for PSC, which is great, really kind of Moto. But that gives us the opportunity now for it to come back to me once you've done your bits with it. So that's the backstory for anyone that doesn't know.
Yeah, such a shame, though. We would have had two.
Well, as we've said before, neither of us are really that much of a flip phone person. You know, it's going to be very much about testing and reviewing, and I'm not completely convinced. The big difference with my 50, my Razer 50, really is the screen size. So you get this extra bit of screen with the 60 Ultra, which is, instead of a 3 point, whatever size screen it is, it's a 4 inch screen on the outside. So it'll be interesting to see that. You're right. I didn't spend any time with it at all, really. So I should be happy to take it off your hands when you get stuck into the Signature.
I will say, although it's not the form factor for me, it really has grown on me, this device. It is really fun to use, and it's lovely to view content on with that 7 inch inner screen. Well, almost 7 inch, isn't it? It's just short of it. The speakers are fantastic as well. I think it's a really good all-round device. I just think it's slightly overpriced at the launch price of £1,099.99. It's
got to come down, hasn't it?
It has got to, yeah.
Have you checked today? Motorola UK's website, let's have a look.
I checked yesterday, because Sam was saying in the US it's $799 for the terabyte version, which was really good price, but ours is still the full price when I last checked.
It is today as well. The Razer 60 has been reduced by £100, but those American prices, we've got nothing like that here, have we?
No, it's a bit strange. We did have it at $899 not long ago, and that's with the Buds Loop as well.
Good grief, they're selling the Buds Loop for $249. Oh no, that's the glitzy ones, isn't it?
Oh, the Swarovski, whatever it's called.
Yeah, how much are the ordinary loops? Accessories.
169, are they?
Are they 169? Headphones. I don't know. I'm getting there. Hang on. Stand by. Ah, there's the loop. A 130.
Said they're good, though. So
they are. They're really good. I really think that they're good quality sound from them, and they work really beautifully. I had them on today. Really nice.
But when you were talking about the speakers of the 50 Neo and 60 Neo, I was thinking the collaboration with Bose is really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they've got.
Yeah,
I think that definitely helps with
audio. And I'm looking forward to testing the speakers on the Razer 60 Ultra against the Razer 50 for sure, because the Razer 50 speakers, they're okay, but they're really nothing special. In actual fact, the phone with the best speakers I've got here at the moment is the original Pixel Fold. It's even better than the Sony Xperia phones, in my view. They've really
interesting.
I know there's a lot of space for them to move the sound around inside, but I really do think that it's the best sound that I've got on a phone at the moment. So I should be interested to see if the Razer 60 Ultra can up that limit.
be interesting to see, you know, Samsung, the rumours about the 8-fold wide.
Yes.
Have you seen that? Yeah, that would be interesting because I think that would be a really good device for Samsung.
Yes.
Because I think a lot of people do favour that wider format, an aspect ratio rather. So, yeah, let's hope that rumour is true.
We're going back to the Microsoft Duo, aren't we?
Yeah, that's
but
it.
With only one screen, though.
Well, I know Sam would be really keen on that. Mm. He really would be. But let's watch this space.
Yeah, and the Moto Fold is going to be rather similar, isn't it, from what we know? I know I was saying earlier that we haven't actually formally seen it yet, but there's enough out there to know it's what's coming, isn't there?
Yeah, because there's quite a lot of images on Moto's website, isn't there? When you're in the Razor part.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, you can see it on there.
Oh, I don't
It's not quite
it,
as
right.
wide.
Okay. I'll also have a look. I think I've missed that. So, well done, you.
Yeah, because you've got the World Cup version of the Razor 60 mm-hmm. as well now, haven't you? Because they're the official sponsors of the World Cup, official phone sponsors of the World Cup.
Yes. That's right.
It doesn't look as wide. It does look a little bit wider, though. It's hard to mm-hmm. tell from the images, though.
Where are you seeing this? I'll look it up. Let's do a live look-up.
Motorola.com, and you can see the two colours the Fold comes in.
Motorola.com, not UK.
Not UK.com.
Right.
Although it's...
Signature.
It is a Great Britain website, though.
Yeah, the Razor Fold. Do you know, I think I did see this, and I completely forgot. Yes, I did see this. I saw this on, I think Shane Craig was showing it off. Yeah.
I like the finish, that the 60, Edge 60, mm-hmm. The finish on that. It looks like the black and blue has that same material.
Yeah.
Which is really nice.
Like a denim type thing, isn't it, almost? Mm. Yeah.
She's really, really smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I remember, it's all coming back to me now. I do remember seeing that. And it does look nice. The camera island looks a bit too big for when it's closed.
I think it's because it's going to be thin, so it looks rather big. Because I think that's similar to, if you look at the pictures of the Signature, it's mm-hmm. quite similar in the sense that the camera does bulge out quite a bit. And I think it's down to the fact that the device is so thin.
Right.
Yeah, because I think the camera hardware is pretty tasty on there.
Mm-hmm. They've got the watch there as well, which I've forgotten all about. Is that on sale yet? What's it called? Oh, it's just called the Moto Watch, isn't it?
Yeah, it's that I had quick hands on, and it is really nice. Hands on with my Wilkins
mm-hmm.
Watch. Yeah, I mean, it's quite chunky,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was really, really nice. He had a metal band on it as well, which I think you can get. Not looked properly. Moto Watches. We're going to go live with that.
$89.99. It's not expensive, is it?
I love the names Pantone Herbal Garden.
Oh, yeah. The one that you're talking about with the metal strap is £130. So
yes.
So the
you get two bands.
Oh, do you? Okay.
You get the Herbal Garden and the Matte Silver.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. my phone keeps making noises today. I do apologise, everyone. So it'd be interesting to see what you or me think of it. Eventually, Motivator Program will send us a Moto Watch. We'll both get to play with it. But they just seem to not send stuff out very quickly.
Well, he's hoping for another Christmas present, eh, Ted, as well?
Yeah.
Well, that's a long way away, but it'll come round quick.
What have we not covered? Google I.O. is coming, where they're going to be talking about the finishing touches to Android 17. I've got Android 17 Beta 1 on my Pixel devices here, and to be honest, it's not really that much different to Android 16 QPR and all of that stuff that I have been playing with anyway. But there is some nice touches, like the at a glance changes, so you can now remove the at a glance completely, or you can put a band behind it, high something it's called, and it makes a little band behind it, which is, it makes a huge difference. And instead of these little figures being just lost in the top left somewhere, it actually sits in a kind of window at the top. And that, it's a disproportionate difference that makes. It's really nice. So I do fancy that. But if you don't want it at all, you can just take it away. The Android XR AI glasses is likely to be talked about on the at I/O in May. So there's that coming. The XR software already powering apparently some of Samsung's kind of XR gear and glasses and all of that. So they're presumably going to tell us what's coming with that. And also talk to us a bit more about the unified desktop mode leading up to Aluminium OS and the merge between Chrome OS and all of that, desktop mode and, you know, all that stuff that we've been teased with on our devices from the Pixel devices anyway, as we've gone along, moving somewhat towards Moto's Smart Connect and Dex and so forth. So I think Google I/O might be quite interesting. I don't think there'll be much hardware being launched. Could be wrong, but certainly some developmental stuff and telling us what's coming, which is always good, don't you find?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's how some other brands utilise some of this stuff as well. Like you mentioned, Samsung very much in bed with Google on the XR stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, watch this space. It's going to be exciting, I think. Yeah. I might even tune in for once.
You go. We'll send you. That's it. We'll,
I wish.
Rich PSC will pay for your flight, and you can go across and join in.
My virtual flight on my laptop.
I was going to say, you'd have to get an invite first.
Yeah, that'd be a fine thing.
Yeah. Did you see the picture of my SIM card? I put this in the recording notes ages ago, and I completely forgot to mention it, that I was having some trouble with my SIM card. It was just kind of not reliably picking up. When I put it into a phone, it was just not giving me a signal sometimes, but other phones it did, and other phones it didn't. And in the end, I decided to ask EE for a new card, and I took it out and I took a photograph of the new one against the old one,
and it's no wonder.
Well, yeah. I mean, you work in retail, you must see some SIM cards. Is that really, really terrible?
Yeah, it looks like you've got a file on it, Ted. It's really taken a batter in that one, has.
It does go in and out of lots of phones. And the point I was making in the group really was that in the old days you would have a tray which doesn't slide in, because you would have probably a removable battery. So you put your SIM card in and something clamps down on top of it. These days it's all sliding in and sliding out. And as it slides in, presumably looking on that picture of it, it's just gouging some channels out as it slides in. Is that right?
Yeah, because it is a very small metal contact, and actually the metal is quite soft, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's inevitable that would happen for a serial SIM swapper like yourself.
Anyway, I've got a nice new EE SIM card now, and I've also got a nice O2 SIM card, which you sent over kindly. And I've got that in the Honor phone, the Magic 8 Lite. So that's under testing. Still no Magic OS 10 on that. They did say April, so it's probably still some way away, to be honest, which is a bit of a shame. But it's a nice phone. I like lots about it. So watch this space on that one.
Yeah, that's why I got it, because it's a nice one to have, and it's not that expensive.
Indeed. Right, photo of the month. Winner for January 26th, the first one of the year, and it was voted for by our lovely members in our MeWe group, and it was a shot by Ian Bundy, who is also a member of our Camera Creations group, take some amazing photographs. So this one was with his Oppo Find X9 Pro, and it's called Morning Wave 3, and it is a picture of a wave in the morning. And the wave is showering up through the middle of the frame, and in the background, which is I think what makes the picture really in terms of composition, there's a some sort of warship or something.
I was going to say that. It really does make it, doesn't it, heading
across the horizon line, and I think that does. I think without that there, it would be a very different kind of picture and less interesting. But the frozen droplets in the wave crashing are really interesting. So good winner. Do you like that?
Yeah, I think he must have taken quite a few efforts at this to get it, and this was his favorite one, obviously, because the composition is really good, as you say, like the ship, where the light fits underneath the wave. It's just everything's really, really nice. Yeah. I think his edit's quite special as well. The color, there's not many colors in there at all, but
it's that's what makes it, he's put
it's
a
like
vignette
chrome
thing.
He's done
a vignetting on the corners, I think.
Yes, yeah, and maybe he's brightened it up as well with the light coming through, and it's almost like chrome sort of colors, isn't it? With a slight aqua.
Yeah,
it's really nice.
Very interesting indeed. And talking of special effects in photography, our Camera Creations podcast this week, we're going to be talking about infrared photography, aren't we? Well, if you are able to join us, but the guys are quite keen to explore that, because it's something that I played with back in the day and I haven't done for decades, but it'll be interesting to see what modern digital cameras can do with infrared photography, and whether that's something also here that could be used on phones in some way. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be interesting, actually, on a mobile device. But imagine that, an infrared lens on the phone. That would differentiate it, wouldn't it, a bit?
Cool. Anyway, well done, Ian. Good shot. And that will be January's winner going forward for our Picture of the Year again this year. We did talk about the fact that we would all be on PSC picking a photograph each. I think we've just slightly tuned that rule in, and we've decided that we're going to do, if there's a picture of the month or picture of the year thing going on, and to talk about a picture that's won something like today, then you and I will stand back and say to the guest, if the guest wants to bring a photograph that they've chosen, then that's fine, they can do that. But we'll reserve our picture of the week for all three of us for the weeks where there's no special one in terms of a winner going on. So hopefully that'll fit in with people's view of what that could be like.
Yeah, I think that's fair, because it deserves being highlighted, doesn't it, when it's photo of the month.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Indeed. And I just realised that we completely forgot to do the classifieds.
I've not even looked today. I was more interested in who was going to jump in with us.
I'm going to have a quick look as we're doing things live on this show. I'll have a quick look now and see what's there.
Yeah, we'll both look live as we're on there.
There's another one of those NextPaper 60 Ultras. I've got one of those.
It's
here.
It's sold, isn't it?
That's sold. But the point is that they're out there, and quite a few of us have bought one of those, and they're kind of going around the group, I think. So there's that one. There's a Pixel 10, which is 128 gigabytes, £460. And what else have we got?
We better mention it as Irfan joined us. He's selling an iPad, 6th gen one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. He could have mentioned that himself, couldn't he? A Poco X3 NFC. Blimey, there's one from the past. £60. I seem to remember that being quite a decent little phone. That's from Ed House. He's got Lineage running on it, so but he's willing to flash it back if anyone wants to.
There's a very good Oppo watch on there from David Hewitt.
Okay.
The X2. They're pretty much the same as the OnePlus watches, and I love them. They're brilliant. So that's a pretty good buy.
Cool. What else have we got? Anything? Pixel 7 Pro running Graphene OS. That's interesting. £140. Nice. So it doesn't matter that it's out of support, which it isn't quite yet, but it's got, as I said earlier, another update if you did have it on Android.
The P60 Art China version.
P60
with a Art. With a watch as well.
I think that someone else has sold that, and then this person has decided they'd had a look and they're selling it on again. So something else doing the rounds, which is cool. So it's some interesting stuff going on in the MeWe Classifieds group. If you want to join the MeWe Classifieds group, as I say every show, it is a closed members group, and you'll need to email me to talk about joining if you want to. There's no automatic way in. We do try to protect the members to some degree. So, okay, there you go then. Anything else you want to talk about, Joe, before we wrap it up?
Oh, just quickly, on Classified again, Dan Carter's reduced them numbers that he was selling for £15. He's dropped it down to 10 now.
Oh, wow.
So if you want a unique number, it was 07510559985. It's tempting for me because I'm born in 85, so... Maybe. Cool. Maybe I will.
Yeah. Good. Dan turned up in your Nomad last night, didn't he? I was quite surprised.
Yeah, it was lovely to see him jump in, yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. So you got more visitors in your show last night than we did tonight, but it was great to have you, Irfan, really. It was really good of you to pop in. So thanks for doing that. And I think Steve would have done if he'd not been busy as well. So we'll go from there anyway. Phoneshowchat.uk is our website. If you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that. It's a paypal.me/TedSalmon. And if you want to buy Joe a coffee, it's at paypal.me/Hickey85. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find links to all the stuff we do. Screen On Time is where you'll find Joe on YouTube. The Nomad Tech Project will be something you can also look up for Sunday night viewing, which is really cool. And as I said earlier, Sam will be on PSC next week with us, so we'll have a chat with him, no doubt, about all that stuff then. But in the meantime, it's thanks for listening, and hope you have a good week, and we'll be back with you in 7 days.